You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic holistic physician, best-selling author, international speaker, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
Extensive scientific research on the biology of stress now shows that excessive stress can be detrimental, and it can impair childhood development of the brain and body. So stress can have many, many damaging effects on learning and their behavior and the physical health across their lifespan. Now, Dr. Pete Sulak, I think it's Sulak. Is it Sulak or Sulak?
It is Sulak, but whatever you call me is fine.
Sulak. Yes, Dr. Pete Sulak, who is the America's leading stress expert, and he's also the founder of StressRx.com. He's here to help our Wellness for Life listeners on how to detect stress in their kids, as well as provide strategies to help their children deal with the stress that comes with school and other activities. Thanks for being here, Dr. P.
Hey, it's an honor to be with you, Dr. Suzanne, as well, and thank you for having me.
Absolutely, yes. To kids these days. I mean, I remember when I was young, we barely had any stress. I mean, what it was stress was going to the school, coming home, maybe doing our homework, and that's about it. We didn't have all this technologies. We didn't have any after-school programs. I didn't know anything after school except I did athletics. Nowadays, our kids are on like a major schedule. Every moment, minute of their day is packed with information, with things to do. So that's not normal, is it? Stress isn't normal?
No, you know what? Stress is inevitable. But what we have found out is that we have more stress in 1 month today than a generation ago had in their entire lifetime, only one generation ago. When we were growing up, we didn't have all the technology that they have today. We didn't have all the stimulation. Like you said, we went and we worked out. We were in sports. We didn't live these sedentary lifestyles, which really kind of just allowed stress to, right now it overwhelms our children. And stress is inevitable, but how I deal with it will literally dictate really my response later on in life.
You know, when I was pregnant with my son, and this was 22 years ago, I was a big, active athlete. I mean, I was a chiropractor, a sports medicine doctor, and I ran 6 months into his pregnancy. I mean, I was constantly going. I was very active in my practice, obviously. And I really believed that my son, some of the allergies that he dealt with and adrenal issues he had, you know, as an infant, was related to my level of how, you know, I was affecting him in utero.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Do you think that can be true? I mean, it can happen that as well inside the womb?
Absolutely. And really, stress begins inside the womb based on really the stress that mother's going through, whether it's her diet, whether it's staying properly hydrated, whether, you know, is she staying active or is she becoming sedentary? And so it starts there and it carries on throughout our lives. And stress is inevitable. It's an inevitable part of our life. But how we deal with stress, how we manage stress, will literally kind of reverse the table on stress so it doesn't manage us.
Right, right. Nowadays, with my patients, you know, we go into prenatal care. I talk to them about really preparing early on before they even get pregnant. Let's change your lifestyle, your diet. I write a lot about that in my book, The 7-Day Allergy Makeover, because really that book is about lifestyle changes, what you're doing outside in your environment, but also the foods that you eat. So then, is that what you suggest as well, to start beforehand, before you even get pregnant?
Absolutely. It's taking that proactive approach. You know, in every area of our life, we know about being proactive. When it comes to our relationships, we know that I have to take care of your spouse and your relationships. When it comes to your finances, hey, I have to pay my bills. I have to budget. But when it comes to our health, we somehow have been led to believe that I can wait till there's a problem and then react to it as if feeling good's health. But people that feel good to have heart attacks feel good and have healthy and get cancer, I should say. So it's about being proactive. What am I doing to counteract the stressors in my life that are going to be inevitable so that my body can deal effectively with them? Through things like relationships, proper rest, food, your diet. What are some of the things I can incorporate to help detoxify my body and then add the sufficiency it needs? Why? So I can deal with stress head on and the inevitable stressors that will face me on a regular basis.
You've got a website called stressrx.com. Do you go into all of these different protocols that you need to work on to relieve stress, but also help your children, their children?
Absolutely. And one of the things my heart is, after seeing a million patients that have come through my door over the last little over a decade, what I've came to find out is that really stress is at the root of everything that we're dealing with, from weight issues to fatigue issues to really heart disease and cancer. Stress is at its root. But stress, like I said, is inevitable. And so we really begin to show patients through StressRx.com that, hey, let's expose the true culprit, which is stress. Because if you misidentify the true culprit, you'll lose. But once we identify stress as being the culprit, then how do we deal with it effectively? And then how do we increase resiliency to it so I can have a happy and healthy life and literally have a long life that's productive?
So tell us a few tips that we can do as parents with our children. What can we do today how we can help our kids today deal with their day-to-day stress?
You know, the nice thing is if you have children and you're there just to support your children. You know, a lot of times stress provides no visible signs on the body, especially when they're young. And so it's really imperative that you look, you listen, and you learn, that you're attentive to your children's needs. And one of the greatest ways to help your children kind of deal with the stressors of their life is to connect with them, to be a support for them, to begin to raise them up. You know, there's a proverb that says, raise a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they're not depart from it. So the more you can do while they're in your home, the better that will result later on in life for them.
So then you're suggesting, what we did in our house, my son is gone now, he's in college. But what we did was we always made sure that after school we connected and dinner time we always connected. And breakfast, it was like I'm someone that made sure that we all had breakfast, lunch, and dinner, proper meals and healthy organic meals. So we would get together at the breakfast table. We'd get together eating dinner. What else do you suggest that we can do?
Well, just to reinforce that, you know, the power to connect is so powerful. I like to kind of say that those we connect ourselves with are the soil that allow the choices that we make to germinate. So the support that you provide your children growing up, it reinforces the choices that they're going to make. And then it's the power of choice. Choices that I make in alignment with the vision for my life will propel that vision forward. But choices I make outside of the alignment of the vision for my life actually take us off course. So really helping your children know, hey, the choices you make have consequences either for your benefit or for your detriment. And so we like to we teach people how to connect properly, surround yourself with a good support system, and then the power of your choices, that they have consequences for the good or for the bad.
I love what you're saying about this choice thing, because I remember so clearly when Cody was like 4 years old, and he wanted this one Pokemon card. You know what a Pokemon card is, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Dr. Yes, and he wanted to get this one Pokemon card that was like $20, just one of those like real big ones. And I told him that, you know, if you just waited one day, we can go tomorrow and use that extra money, that $20, to buy a lot of other things or a lot of other cards. And my gosh, 45 minutes crying in the car at the parking lot, crying, and he just couldn't make the decision. But I waited and I waited. And as a parent, gosh, 45 minutes, a long time listening to your child cry about it. But I'll tell you, it's helped him in so much ways, just giving him the choice of making that right one and doing what was right. And he said, after 45 minutes, he said, I'm gonna wait, Mom. I'm gonna wait till tomorrow because I really feel in my heart it's gonna be a better choice for me. And thank goodness he did, because now he makes this, as an adult, he makes amazing choices. So these are little things you wouldn't think as a parent that would really help your child become the adult that you want them to become. That's what
Absolutely.
You're saying.
There's so much power in that. You know, I have four boys myself. My oldest is a senior in high school. He's 17. My youngest is 7, and he happens to run the house. And, you know, but just letting my youngest son, Ezekiel, know that, hey, buddy, I know you want the Pokemon Go. I know you want some of those Lego sets. But, hey, let's think about it a little bit. Like my 12-year-old, it's like, hey, he wants something, and he wants it now. And what we have to do is show him that, hey, let's wait for 24 hours. If we're going to make a major decision, wait 24 hours. Because if you can learn that now, it's going to help you so much later on in life, so that you don't make really just responsive decisions and impulsive decisions, rather than seeking counsel, providing you, getting you the support that you need so you can handle the stressors of this life. Because if you can learn it as a child, like you said, it's going to benefit you later on in life.
Absolutely. I know. That's great that you mentioned impulsivity. We've got issues about that. You know, everything is like, I want everything now, you know, because technology allows that. You know,
yeah.
I've done that myself. It's like, okay, let me go on the line and I got to find the answer, right? And it's just part of our nature to do so. And we don't listen to our body. You know, listening, speaking of listening, what can you tell our parents today, some of the signs of stress? You did mention that it's difficult to read, but what should we look out for?
You know, some of the things are, you know, children having nightmares or kind of being excessive excitability. So they're always kind of jumping all over the place. Or maybe it's the inability to sleep or sleeping all the time. You know, trouble eating or eating too much, or maybe it's stomach pains or leg pains. These are just things as you begin to watch, as you begin to be perceptive of what's going on in your child's life, these are some of the signs that they're dealing with stress. And like we said, stress is inevitable. So when we can begin to kind of acknowledge those things in their life and deal with them, then we have a thing. You know, there was a study that was done by Kaiser Permanente, really in the Centers of Disease Control. It was done in the 90s. And what they found, that there was a link between childhood adversity and adult onset of physical and mental health disorders, and they called them adverse childhood experiences. Now, these are experiences different than just growing up. You know, the typical type of stress is like, hey, I didn't make my baseball team or basketball team, or hey, I didn't get the grades I wanted, or maybe it's your parent loses it and screams at you, but then they apologize later. So that's actually normal stressors of this life that actually build resiliency. But then there's the adverse childhood experiences called ACEs. And that happens when a child's in an environment where there's verbal abuse or humiliation, or maybe it's emotional or physical neglect, sexual abuse, or living with a depressed parent or someone that's really dealing with addiction. And when those ACEs or adverse childhood experiences affect an individual, there's proof that will affect them later on in life as well. So they begin to live in this chronic state of stress. Now, that's not everybody, but it's very, very prevalent in a lot of the homes today that we face with. And so as a doctor, when patients come into my office, that's one of the things I'm looking at, too, is it's so encouraging when I see families in family units that they're there to support their children. But I do see a lot of foster children that come in and children that really don't have the home that I have or my kids have. And then it's really being paying attention to that. And maybe even from an outside source, you can be an encouragement, that you can provide just good, positive support for that individual. Because when they live in an environment like that all the time, science actually proves that it will literally allow the cells of their body to what they call marinate in toxic inflammatory chemicals called cytokines. And what we know with chronic illness needs inflammation to survive. And a lot of children today are in these adverse childhood experiences. They don't have the family makeup that they need, and it leads to chronic illness later on in life.
Yeah. When I see a lot of the adults these days, you know, I mean, I'm sure you do too in your practice, is that a lot of these chronic conditions, physical conditions, are linked to emotional toxic, emotions and things that we deal with as a child. I grew up in Korea and my life was different. I mean, I couldn't even imagine having my son live that same type of life. And it was normal back then. I lived in Korea and having physical abuse or, you know, getting hit for doing something wrong, that was normal. That was not something that was outside. And, of course, this was in the early 60s and 70s. But in America, we still have a lot of kids going through these stresses, and a lot of times we don't even know it. It's all a secret inside their home, right? So it's important, even if you don't have children, if you're someone in school atmosphere, someone, if you're a coach, to recognize some of these stresses in our kids. And hopefully you'll be able to help them.
Absolutely. And that's really what we want to do, is we want to expose that, hey, the real culprit is stress. and then the body's ability to deal with it effectively, really adapt to it and recover from it. Because as long as the body's adapting and recovering, hey, the body will begin to respond because it's created to work. But at the same time, Dr. Suzanne, I have patients that come in that are on the front lines, they're special forces, military, and they have more stress than most people do. But just because you have stress doesn't mean it's going to affect you. It's my body's ability to handle it. So like you talked about, when we talk about things like connecting with people that are supportive, that are loving, making the right choices, okay, making sure that we're doing things on a regular basis to help detoxify our lives, and then add sufficiency through diet and supplementation in certain areas, where we're providing the good nutrients, what are we doing? We're increasing the body's resiliency to stress. And when you can begin to instill those in your children at an early age, they will remember those things and use them and apply them later on in life.
Love that. You know, you've got a book out. Can you talk a little bit about your book?
Yeah. You know, I created a book called Unhealthy Anonymous, really because I felt like getting on the road to health would seem very daunting. And I have a lot of health experts that are great friends of mine, but it seemed like where they were and most people are, there's this huge chasm between them. And so it feels very unattainable. So I created a company called Unhealthy Anonymous, like Alcoholics Anonymous, where you can come as an alcoholic and not be judged for it. There's a support for you. Where I felt that where they're that missing link in healthcare was a safe place for people to come to get on the road to health, called Unhealthy Anonymous, where I'd like to say you can come with Skittles in your mouth and Twizzlers in your pocket. I don't care. Let's just get you in the game and get you moving in the right direction. And the 12 steps of Unhealthy Anonymous are really what I found, the 12 steps to increase the body's resiliency to stress. That will be a foundation. As we begin to walk out this life and begin to get healthy, that's a foundation that we're going to build upon. So even before we talk about gut health and balancing hormones naturally, it's those 12 steps that will establish the foundation so that we can increase the body's resiliency to the stressors of this life, so that we can learn how to manage stress rather than stress managing us.
No, resiliency, I love that word because it's true. You know, stress can be, when you think about it, at least for me, it all depends on the person, on how they perceive stress. You know, some people, their level of anxiety and their state of nervousness actually makes it 10 times bigger than it really is. But because they're perceiving it 10 times worse, their body actually feels it 10 times worse, right?
Absolutely.
So if you were someone that is more of an observer, just take a look, let's take a step back, take a deep breath, and get more clarity on the situation, you're not going to react the same way, which then, of course, your body will not perceive it as a major stress as well. And I think that if the body is more resilient, as you say, and that's what you teach in this book, then through life, you're not going to have the diseases that are connected to stress.
Absolutely.
Isn't that right?
Absolutely. You know, we've been told in really our society that germs make you sick. And that's what really everyone believes. But if germs made us sick, we'd all be dead. Now, the reality is germs make a weak host sick. So if the flu came around, not everyone in your household gets the flu. Who gets the flu? Those that are not resilient to the flu. And so the 12 steps of Unhealthy Anonymous are saying, hey, stress is inevitable. It's the spy in the enemy's camp. And unless you expose it and deal with it and increase resiliency to it, it will overtake you. And actually, that will lead to chronic inflammation and chronic illness and all really the chronic diseases that we're facing today, when in reality, we can really deal with it head on and increase resiliency to it.
I think that the word resilience is also important to know that if you actually were in, let's say, in an island, you lived off of Fiji, some little island, and you had absolutely no stress, and you just lived in the survival mode, meaning you just had to find water and food and shelter, just the basics of life. I think that that might be a problem in of itself as well, because if you were to be put in a situation of major stress, you're not going to be resilient, right?
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to handle.
You're absolutely right. And so that's what you talked about. There's some people that can handle stress a lot better than others. Like these gentlemen that come into my office that are special forces, Green Berets. You know, they're on the front lines. Their life has been threatened every single day, but sometimes they're able to handle those stressors better than some of the people that I know. Why? Because there's certain choices that I make in my life that will decrease resiliency. Things like a sedentary lifestyle, diet, you know, some chemical stressors like sugar and gluten, even the casein or the protein in dairy, those are some of the things that can actually decrease your resiliency to the stressors of this life. Not staying properly hydrated, okay? Hydration in water is one of the greatest ways that you can just simply detoxify the body and add the sufficiency and hydration the body needs to increase its resiliency. So it's those choices that we're making that will either decrease resiliency or increase resiliency. So when you get on the journey, hey, I would rather get you at death's door with a stage 4 cancer diagnosis, triple negative, which means nothing can help you, and get you there and get you moving in the right direction and begin to add these things into your life to increase resiliency. It's amazing the results you'll get if you look at it from the right perspective.
That's exactly what I think, too. The perspective is key. So with this book, you can get it online, is that correct? Is it a book on Amazon?
You can get it at Amazon. You can get it in bookstores. You can get it at StressorX.com. And it's really something that we expose the culprit, which is stress, and show you the 12 easy steps to increase resiliency to stress, which are 12 steps that don't cost you anything. Simple tweaks in your lifestyle that will help increase the body's resiliency to this greatest threat to our health and happiness, which is stress.
Well, can you give us a couple before we leave? Because we're just about done with our show, but I'd love to know one or two steps that you can help us with.
Well, absolutely. You know, one of the things we talked about was connect, the power to connect. One is the power of your choices, okay? The other one is really identifying the true culprit. It's like if we went to war, and like I said, we keep getting blasted by the enemy because the whole time the enemy's placed a spy or what they call a mole in our camp. And we know the spy's name. We're with them every day of our life. We just never identify that as a culprit. Unless we identify the culprit, we'll not get the victory. But the second I identify the spy in the camp, from that day forward, victory's in my grasp. Well, the same thing, we live with the stress. We're very familiar with stress. It comes in many shapes and sizes and forms, from physical to chemical to emotional, even mental stress. And affects us every day of our life, but it's identifying stress as the culprit so I can begin to properly go after it and deal with it effectively. And then you talk about a powerful step called gratitude. It's actually proven that when we become grateful for the things in our life rather than cynical for the things that we don't have, those that are grateful actually boost the immune system exponentially compared to those that are cynics. And then you also talk about a step we like called generosity. If the first 11 steps are the pillars or the footers, we like to say the 12th step is the capstone. It holds it all together, and that's generosity. And really, those who are generous with their lives, not only does it boost the immune system, but it kind of protects the investments that were laid.
Oh, those are great steps. And, you know, the one about gratitude, we can all do that with our kids. Talk about what are we grateful for. And when Cody was young, that's what we'd talk a lot about. And because a lot of kids, you know, these days they think about all the negative and the things that we watch on TV. I was personally that I didn't like television. I don't like watching any news. So if you were to ask me what's going on in the news, I don't know much about it. I must tell you, I'm ignorant about that. But it's only because I don't want to hear the negativity. Do you believe that can be true too? Do you feel that hearing negative thoughts, negative things out in the world can also give us a lot of stress?
Absolutely. It's actually proven that negative thoughts will affect what's called the HPA axis in the brain, which facilitates the stress response. It's proven to affect what's called the limbic system of the brain, or the emotional center of the brain. But then positive thoughts are actually proven scientifically to affect that same HPA axis in the brain and kind of cage the tiger of stress in your life and allow the body to come back to what's called homeostasis and rest. And at homeostasis and rest, that's when the body heals itself, restores itself. But negative thoughts actually put the body in a stress response.
Right. Well said. You know, one of my favorite authors and scientists is Bruce Lipton, and he talks in The Biology of Belief that your thoughts can create your physical reality, meaning it'll change your genetics and your genetic makeup, which is called epigenetics. So I work a lot on that in my practice. And geez, thanks so much. Any last minute that you want to drop on before we say goodbye?
I think the biggest thing is just if you're listening to understand that, hey, no matter where you are in the journey, there's hope for you. And no matter where we find you, we have people from all over the world that come in that literally have no hope. And if we begin to expose the true culprit and get you moving in the right direction, anything is possible for you. And just everything that you teach here on your radio program is so powerful because it helps increase the body's resilience. It helps deal properly with the things that we face on a regular basis so that we can become resilient, productive citizens that really have an increased quality of life and a good, happy life.
Awesome. I love our chat. Love having you here. You're going to have to come back, Pete. You know, got a lot to say, and I think you're very inspirational. Lots of good info on stress and family and how to live the best life. Thank you so much. All right. This is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural strategies for ultimate health and wellness right here on Radio MD. Until next time, stay well.